Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to the Hebrew Restoration Assembly, brought to you by the Social Change Action Network here on this seventh day. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Ahaya Bahashem Yeshaya. All praises to the Most High. For he said in Genesis, Bereshit, the second chapter, and the second verse, and on the seventh day, Ahaya ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And Ahaya blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which Ahaya created and made. This day is blessed. This day is sanctified. This day is Kodesh. This day you are increased. This is our worship day. No servile work. We don't seek our own pleasure. This is the day of worship they tried to deceive us about and take away from us. But as the children of Israel, the scattered diaspora, the indigenous people, we know that we are waking up, coming back together, and assembling and prophesying into the wind. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. He lives and the children of Israel live. I am Elder V, and we're just glad to be here with you once again. We're going to also welcome our brother from another mother. No, Elder Andre.
Shalom to the Mishmakah family. Once again, just adding to what the elder just said, you know, we appreciate you checking in, appreciate you listening to us, all of those around the world, doesn't matter what part of the world and what part of time that you're in, meaning whether you're in the a.m., the afternoon, or the p.m. time, we still welcome you and would like to express our thanks, our todah to you for listening. We realize that you could be doing other things or listening to another station, but you decided to check in with us, whether it be it by Skype or by phone or by other means of the computer. We still would like to say thanks and appreciate your support.
Most definitely, we appreciate your support, but I want you to recognize that today we give all praises to the Most High on our day of worship, and we want to really be emphatic about these commandments as we are waking up as a people, as a scattered diaspora. Know that your hedge and your protection is going to come in you keeping the commandments, the statutes, the precepts, the laws which our Father gave us as a family, as a nation, a people that he will never forsake. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. Our people are tired. They're being beat down by society. But welcome to the end of the Gentile rule. That's where we are. We've been in tribulation since 70 AD, but I want to let you know that it's time to prepare for us coming out of going into this trouble, this time of trouble, but coming out of the Gentile rule and preparing to take our position of prominence in what the scriptures, our Hebrew history book, has promised us. We're preparing ourselves to walk into it. I know you're tired, but after you've done all you can to stand, you've got to stand anyway, because no weapon formed against us, Isaiah 54:17, will prosper. This is the time where every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, we have to condemn and speak out. And that's what we seek to do here at the Social Change Action Network. However, on this seventh day, the Sabbath, we have committed ourselves to this being a time of understanding our culture. And how do we understand our culture? By going back to our laws and not being a lawless society. We must keep the law of the Most High, for this will never pass. Everyone's telling you that that's done away with the death of our Christ on the cross. Those are liars, and they've been lying to you. I've never seen anyone go to elementary school, junior high school, high school, and get to college, and they say, forget everything you've learned and your whole foundation and just start from here. It's impossible. The law is given to us for a substratum, for a foundation, and we must come back to it because it is our culture. We're people that felt that we didn't have a heritage, didn't have a nation. You're correct. Because of the curses that were brought upon us in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, that is explained. Awakening, we are, and we're understanding our culture. These commandments, these laws, are indicative of change so that we will have a construct. That is our Messiah, our brother, Messiah of Chiak. Statutes and commandments, you know, I really want to say a few things before we go into teaching of some of the laws. We're going to talk about some of the various laws in Deuteronomy. There's so many for us to talk about in how we conducted ourselves as a people so that we understand. Because I'm understanding all of that these laws.
Say that again, you broke up a little bit.
These laws that were given to us that came through our forefathers were are intrinsic. Now, I'm not going to say it's common sense. I'm going to say that it's innate, that the people do understand what was given to us, because he said, I'm going to write the commandments in your heart. What it is mm-hmm. I think most people choose to blot it out, to ignore it, or they've just been completely turned over or have blasphemed but I know he's written them in the hearts of his people. And what that means is that you feel conviction when you break these laws, or when you hear them, it makes sense to you. You know this is the way we're supposed to conduct ourselves. What say you?
Totally agree. And that, got to remember that he was talking to the nation of Israel because they were set apart from all other people. And so while other nations and other, especially the surrounding nations, were doing whatever they wanted, doing just the opposite of what he was teaching, he wanted Israel to be set apart so that they can be the priests of the world. And that's why I myself, along with Elder B, always say on air that there should not be Gentiles teaching Hebrews, because the Hebrews were set apart to teach the world, to teach the Gentile nations. And so that's part of the problem today, elders, when you see Gentiles teaching Hebrews about the Most High. That's way out of order. That's way out of place. And so we got to put things back in order.
I think what the whole thing is that these Protestant pastors and preachers and these Gentiles are not teaching the Most High anyway. They're teaching a false Christ who looks like a hippie and has blue eyes. They're 501c3 compliant, meaning they're controlled and ordered by the government, and that's not scripture. They're trying to prepare the people as sheep to lead them into martial law and this new world order, who are all controlled by fallen angels. And they're preaching a prosperity message to try and get our people to serve money, mammon, and things of this world. So they haven't been preaching and teaching to us anyway. They've been preaching the world. And all praises to the Most High that we're starting to wake up and say, there's something wrong with this. You know, our people have helped to create this debt system because we wanted to act like we were prospering, talking about I'm blessed and highly favored, you know, all that old crap that they teach in the Christian church. And what everybody was doing was getting itself in debt, going to get mega loans for big houses and big cars, and defaulted on all those loans and couldn't pay it because they lost the so-called jobs that these people thought was their security with this American dream. Your security comes in seeking the Most High and living for Him. And Psalms 119, 127 says, therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. They were singing about the fact that these commandments I love more than any money or anything else. Brother, I don't know about you or anybody listening. This right here is prosperity to me, to be able to preach, teach, hug, grab onto these commandments on the Shabbat and worship the Most High, my Father, my Abba.
Brother, I had to hold myself on that one. You almost got me speaking in tongues on that last on that last statement. But man, it's so true, and things haven't changed, because the very thing that the Messiah had commanded the apostles to do was the very thing that we were supposed to be doing in the first place. So nothing's changed. They were just called out to be the preachers and to lead the nation to the Most High, but that was the mission in the first place. And so nothing's changed. And you were right, because when you say that they're not teaching about the Messiah and about the commands anyway, because we have to break out. We have to break that fallow ground, or break that mindset of the that the Messiah is Western, is a European Westernized person who taught Western ways, and that's what the these theologies and theology colleges and seminaries, that's what they teach. That's why they like to hang around in Greek, you know. But it's just the opposite. That this is the African culture, and always was and always will be. And so those who want to come in, be grafted in, and that's through the Messiah, have to be grafted in through his ways, not through their ways. And that's one thing that the church have not learned and refused to even discover or even to look at. And so that's why we, as well as others, are being led during these last days to proclaim his word and to bring those who are lost or those who are blind and deaf back into the Most High.
Yeah, and coming back to him is through these statutes and commandments. So, yeah, what we see is deception through denomination. And every denomination, which is not in our Hebrew history book, the scriptures, what you call the Bible, every denomination denies the children of Israel, the scattered diaspora exists. They teach replacement theology and say that now the church has replaced Israel. And nobody wants to accept the fact that those people over in Israel are a farce. They're fake. They're not in the scriptures. The children of Israel is prophesied that they are under the curses right now. They're not to be a world power with nuclear armament ready to destroy other countries. You know, those people over there are the people of the Balfour Treaty, the Khazars, and from the Caucasus Mountains, and they are Revelations 2 and 9, Revelations 3 and 9. That is the synagogue of Satan. Nobody wants to understand this and see this. So anyway, denominationally, they teach us lies to try and keep our people blind from seeing the truth. But I'm going to tell everybody it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. And we do that on the Shabbat and the Sabbath when we come back to the laws and statutes and commandments, because in these things we have a construct. So I just want to say that the chat room is open for anybody who wants to communicate as it pertains to the lesson that we're going into. And that also the guest call-in number is 213-769-0910. And we're going to get into the lesson. Elder, if you don't mind, I just want to play just a little bit of this song, just a little bit as we prepare. And then I'll let you call the scripture as soon as we come back and go into it from there.
Okay.
Away, away. Alone with you, away, away to hear your voice and meet with you. Nothing else matters. My one desire here is to worship you, I live, to worship you, I live to worship you. To worship you, I live, to worship.
Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom. Welcome back. So let's move into this lesson. Let's get it. Elder, what's the first scripture you want to call out?
Let's go with the first one. Let's go with uncleanness. That's taken out of Deuteronomy, Hebrew word Devarim, 23:14.
I'll read Deuteronomy 23:14 out of the King James, and it says, "For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee.
Thank you, my brother. Just as we just recently celebrated these past feasts, the Feast of the Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles, in the Feast of Tabernacles, it was one of the meanings of that feast, is that he was intimately among us. He was not far away, but he was right there in the camp. He was right there in the very tent, in the very sukkot, in the very booth or tent or tabernacle that we were in. And so when he says that in this verse, that he walks in the midst of the camp, that was true, and that's even though we are dispersed today, it's still true today that he's still our shepherd, and he's still in the very midst of the camp. And the camp can be the camp is a border. It's a borderline. A camp could be a city. It can be a house. It can be wherever it may be. But that's where the Most High is at. He's right in the midst of our camp. Wherever we are at today, he's still right in the midst of our camp. And so the word today, the King James says holy. We're still, nothing's changed. We're still called to be holy, to be the Hebrew word kodesh, set apart, to be special, to be handpicked and for him, to serve him. The problem is that we have not done that, and so therefore that's why we're in the situation we're in today. And so, but the call is still out, is to be holy or to be kodesh, because he's kodesh. And so when he says in 14, the Lord, that's Ahiah, thy God, that Most High, walking in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee. That's to deliver us from all things. This, it wasn't his will for us to be sick, to walk around with cancer and diabetes and high blood pressure and all kinds of diseases. And, it wasn't his will. His will was to deliver us from all things. And to give up thy enemies, he was going to fight our battles. We would have to do very little fighting. We're still have to fight, but he was going to be in the midst of us fighting our battles before thee. Therefore, shall thy camp be, we already talked about, kodesh, set apart. And I would like to say this, Elder, while I'm at it. Once you get into the scriptures and once you get into different words, you'll realize that some words that were put in here are really not good words. Holy is one of them, but that's another day and another time. And so I would like to say kodesh, the Hebrew word set apart or special, consecrated for him.
Sanctified.
And sanctified. And that he see no unclean thing in thee and turn away from thee. Now, this word unclean is not your typical word unclean, like you just dirty or, you just got some dirt on you or whatever. This word in the Hebrew is the word aruba, and that's referring to nakedness, to be indecent, to have sexual relations, to be dishonored, to disgrace yourself, and then also to be filthy, to have filthiness or to be filthiness, to have uncleanness, and even to have excrement on you. So that's really gross right there. And so he's referring there, if you, as I read in the Hebrew prior to this, that is they've just put it as nakedness in this scripture here. Therefore, they shall walk, be holy. See that you do not be naked or disgrace yourself in this thing and turn away and turn away from thee. You know, so this unclean elder is the other nations, they specialized in, and we're about to get into this further. That's why I wanted to start with this. They specialized in just being very unclean. When I say unclean, I'm talking about all kinds of things of nakedness, including having sex with animals and, you know, homosexuality and all kinds of filthiness and disgraceful stuff.
Which the Most High forbids, might I add, about this bestiology. That's just why we had our government try to pass a law and a bill allowing people within the military to have sex with animals. It's a disgusting time we live in. I just wanted to add that. Sorry to interrupt.
No, keep on.
Go ahead. I just wanted to mention that, yeah, because that is very unclean, and that's why this government, this world, this society is doing everything they can to defy the Most High, his laws and his statutes, to get our people to become abominable and cursed, even the more so by breaking the laws and bringing the curses on us throughout the third and fourth generation.
Yeah, thank you, Elder, for that. And the people need to know what's going on in the world and within our governments and within our society. And I know the elder here, he's always checking, and I need to do so myself, but he steady checks daily to see what's going on in, not only in our country but in the world. And so you will hear that on his broadcast, straight no chasers. And so I encourage you to listen to that broadcast and, you know, get caught up on the end time events here. And so so remember, there's a border here. Therefore shall thy camp be holy. You should not have this as the other nations around them were doing this. There's a borderline that you can only go so far, and once you cross that border into their camp, that's not allowed. And so that's what we need to stand up and say, no, this is not allowed with us. This is not allowed with the Most High's people. And so we need to take a stand against this. There's a border that the government can only go so far. You can't go so far and just come right into our camp and still allow these things to happen. The elder just mentioned, about these bills being passed. Well, I mean, that's them. That has nothing to do with us. We have the Most High. We have his kingdom. We have his government, and we have his coke. We have his culture. And so that's not allowed in our camp, Elder.
Unclean. Definitely. I think one of the things that I studied and I noticed is that in the Hebrew camps, most of the soldiers had to keep a paddle along with their swords because they were – it was necessary within the camp that if you were to, use the restroom, and with the excrement that came from you, you were required to cover it up because it was not to remain exposed in the camp, because the Most High said, I dwell amongst you, and I'll be around no uncleanliness, no nakedness, or anything uncovered. And so they were required culturally to cover up the remains from whatever they did outside of the camp. Even if it was just like directly outside of the camp, that had to be covered up, because you have to understand that the Most High is Kodesh. And he walks amongst you to deliver you. He has a high expectation. You know what we say today, and we wonder where it came from? Godliness is next to cleanliness. This is the root and source. It's been, through time, it's become that cliche. But this is the root and source of where that saying actually came from, because the expectations of the Most High, he wanted order amongst us as a people. If he were going to walk amongst us, deliver us, destroy our enemies, bless us, and heal us, there was an expectation on our behalf. The onus was upon us to be in order, to be clean, to be covered up, to be Kodesh, and to make sure things were right. That's why we had laws that said that if you had done certain things, you couldn't be in the camp. You couldn't bring certain things in the camp. You couldn't be married to other nations. If a woman was during her time of cycle, she was going through some things, that was considered to be unclean during that time, leprosy, unclean. The Most High had very strict expectations of his people to honor him in that capacity. And so I think the relevance today is to realize that we can't just do anything any kind of way with how we dress, carry ourselves, conduct ourselves, and then still have an expectation for him to heal us. He said, I'll walk amongst you. He says, I walk amongst my people. And that, you know what that scripture came to mind when you were saying that, is that he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst. Now, I know you used to hear this in the Christian church, and we just thought, yeah, when we, you know, go to church on the false worship day of Sunday. No, but not too many people even knew the name at that time. So he said, two or three gathered together in my name. Most people don't know the name because the name has been hidden from them. And what he was saying, those that are gathered in my name and understand what it is, and they come with the understanding of this, having prepared themselves to come before my presence, then he would dwell amongst us, because he does inhabit the praises of his people. But praise comes through preparation, you know, and I don't want to just be speaking out of myself, but any time a bride is getting ready to get married, there's a whole process she goes through to prepare for that groom. And we are the bride of Christ, the Most High. And this cleanliness cuts through the natural and the spiritual of how we have order and conduct and preparation to be in his presence in order to receive all these things that you speak of, the increases.
Man, brother, that's a Selah right there. You know, just pause and think about that. You know, it's the thing that I'm very concerned about is I had talked to a person who he was a drug dealer, you know, and you know, I was cutting his hair, and I think I told you this before, Elder. When his concern was, but he was, you know, he was raised up from, and you could tell, you know, that he was raised the right way, but he just decided to do his own thing. And so his concern was, when it's time, what I was trying to tell him is the time is now, but he was saying when it's time for him to come back to the Most High, because he was raised up that way. So, you know, so he thought, because it was in the church, but, you know, that's, you know what I'm saying.
Right.
His concern was, what do I do and where do I go? Because from what he's seen and what he experienced is the very people who buy drugs, the very people who, you know, the very women he sleep with, the very people, the very things that he is doing, it's the same people that's in the church. So he said, man, if there's no place where I can say, hey, over there, I can go over there and get saved, it's like, man, if there's no place for us to go, man, then we're doomed. And he's right. He's right about that. You know, and so there, the Most High has set up a camp, has set up a place to where, with the children of Israel, to where, hey, those nations around who are living and just doing any and everything, that they knew that, okay, there's a light over there. There's a place over there that I can go and I can seek out the Most High and I can be saved. You know, so but where is that place now? Because the very thing we're talking about is the very thing that the church now is involved in. And so, you know, I started off with this because this is really going to be our main topic today, but we're going to go into other scriptures to kind of even enhance this even more. But where can we go if the church isn't doing right? And then what I say on the air, normally most, you know, during the week, is that just like you said, where there's two or three gathered, or you yourself, just turn back to the Messiah. You know, you don't need to go to church to be saved. You can be saved right where you at. And so just turn to him, because he's our shepherd. you know, not the church. The Messiah is our shepherd.
Let me give one of the precepts for this. Leviticus 26 and 12, and it says, "And I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. For I am Ahiah, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, Mitzrayim, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright." And I just want to kind of point out that these, back in Deuteronomy 23 and 14, the scriptures we're reading were commandments and laws that were given for us to be pure during times of war. So he was saying, look, right before you get ready to go into battle and you're in the battle, I'm going to be with you during the battle. And right now, Israel, my people, my brothers and sisters, my mishpacha, we are at war. We're in a spiritual warfare and a natural warfare. Society's seeking to kill you. We're going to get into this on Straight No Chaser next week. There's a dossier that's out letting all aspects of government, FEMA, World Health Organization, the police, FBI, CIA, letting them know to begin to destroy the children of Israel, which are the indigenous people. We are at war, and we need him to walk amongst us and be with us and protect us, and it's through keeping these laws. And this one right here is key. Keep yourself clean. Keep yourself prepared.
Having said that, do you want to go into the second one? Because it even enhances this even more.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's go to... he said we're going to hang out in Deuteronomy. We're still going to be in the same chapter. Let's go keep reading down to the very next, not the very next one, but 17 and 18. So that's Deuteronomy 23, 17 and 18. And it has to do pretty much with homosexuals and whores. So I just put down here, do not allow whores, lesbians, bulldaggers, butches among the women of Israel to be in your midst, nor male sodomites. The very next thing is do not even hire them. And so let's read. Do you want me to read or you want to read it?
I'll go ahead and read. I'm going to let you go ahead and step into this.
Oh, man, I was about to say, I'm going to let the chain off you. And okay, go ahead.
All right, Deuteronomy 23:17. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Verse 18, thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of Ahiah for any vow. For even both these are abomination unto Ahiah.
Once again, I would like to remind you that in the camp, there's a border that you cannot cross. And so in this border, once again, this borderline where, hey, you know, the Canaanites and, you know, everybody else is doing what they do. You know, you go up north and you got the Europeans doing what they do, you know, and they're really bad at it. But right here, there's a line that you cannot cross that is not allowed. And in this line, through this line, no whores, that's prostitutes, of the daughters of, there should be no whores among or of the daughters of Israel. So that means that in our nation, the Hebrew nation, Israel nation, there is no prostitutes, there is no whore. Actually, this word is actually a temple, even temple prostitutes. We're going to get in that in a second.
So you got that precept, right?
Yes.
Good, good, good. Because I just was looking for it, and you said it.
So the temple prostitutes are not allowed. Remember what it says in Romans that, know ye not that, you know, I mean, that your body is the temple. And so that is not allowed in the physical temple and is not allowed in the spiritual temple. And so with the women, he started off with the women first. So therefore, there shall be no whore temple prostitutes or whatever amongst the daughters of Israel. So so that means also, no, I don't want to go ahead of myself, so I'm not going to even say that. But that keeping in mind that we must stay clean before the Most High. And can you imagine, Elder, that we calling ourselves priests, we calling ourselves consecrated and sanctified to the world, and yet the world can see that this stuff is going on. I'm starting off with the prostitutes first. That this stuff is going on, temple prostitutes and so on, is going on even amongst us. What kind of example would that set to the world?
And that's why you got folks in these false Christian churches that are being led by Gentiles. You got so much whoredom within the church, whoredom, period, because there's a lot of sensuality in the church. And this comes from back in the earlier times during Constantine in the temple. The people would go up and worship the god Bacchus. And after they were aroused with music and the playing of horns and flutes, they would actually have orgies within the temple. And you still see a lot of this conduct now with what they call praise and worship, and then listening to a false mammon gospel. And then afterwards, everybody want to go hook up and do what they want to do. The Most High is making it clear right here, man, that there's not supposed to be any whores. And that would be a man whore, too. People committing fornication and adultery amongst the people of Israel. So that's why he's pulling a remnant out of the church and back into his church, the true children of Israel. And women are supposed to have respect for themselves. You know, it kind of ticks me off that I've seen some of these reality shows. The real whores of Atlanta are, I'm sorry, housewives of Atlanta. I'm sorry. You know, all these shows. And you'll see these women who are actually in adultery and fornication and other shows. And I see it on the streets, too, talking about, I'm a woman of God. Man, it makes me want to throw up the women. And actually, prostitutes, strippers, and they're all saying, I'm a woman of God. You know what? I'm not mad at them, because they see that what they're doing is similar to what they see everybody else doing in this pagan Christian religion and church. So they don't feel no different. They feel like they're on the same equal level as these so-called first ladies who are walking around here like divas. And changing husbands, marrying different pastors, and trying to floss in the pulpit. First lady ain't even scriptural. So, yeah, it sickens me that women who live in any kind of way, and don't worry, we're going to get to you brothers in a second, but women live in any kind of way talking about, I'm a woman of the Most High. No, you're not. No, you're not. And know this, that you will not be amongst the children of Israel, the remnant, the called out, those that are going into the land, when our brother Messiah returns. And I'm just telling y'all, we cutting grass and telling the truth today. I see people going in and out this chat room, calling in and out the lines. It's because I guess we spitting truth, but we're not going to cut back or pull back either. So I just wanted to say that, Elder. Go ahead.
Well, the word whore in itself, Elder, is the word, in the Hebrew word, Zana or Zane. Same with the Ethiopic, Zanyet. And that word basically means a man or woman of porn.
Wow.
A prostitute, a whore, or a temple prostitute. And
wow.
So the Greek word to that is the word pornea.
Wow.
And so the word zane or zana in the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Ethiopic, it's the same word as a male or female, a person who's in porn, you know. And so, and this is one of the biggest problems that's not even being talked about or dealt with. That's in the church is that problem, pornography, that's not being dealt with. I heard. If you don't mind me mentioning his name, Charles Stanley say some years ago that he did a study, and then the study was that whenever there are conventions and conferences going on in a, you know, with the church in a certain city, the hotels, you know, he checked with the hotels, and the hotels would say, man, that the pornography service or having prostitutes come in would go up more so than when just regular conventions go on. And so this is a thing that is a huge problem that is not being dealt with, it's not being talked about. And I know why, and you know why also, because, you know, you're basically doing it, and so you don't want to talk about it. And so these things is a wildfire, and there's no one with holes, there's no fireman around to just put the thing out, and it's just rampantly going wild, and it's picking up as, you know, fire carries its own wind. It picks up as the wind is becoming stronger in this fire. No one is not even looking at it or dealing with it. They even put the fire out. And so we don't care if you offend it or whatever. This is the truth. And so we're coming today saying, no, there's a border that you cannot cross with the Most High. And in that border, his children, his people, and the Messiah's bride is not to be a whore. All you need to do is read Hosea. It's not to be a whore. And so we have been, throughout the years, a Zana. We have been a whore to the Most High. And we know we're not even looking to quit. We're looking to even add on to it. And that's why you find out these church programs and these things on TV, Sunday's Best and all these other, you know, Tyler Perry shows that favors this and enhances this even more. And yet, you know, so now this is just the time that the church just, I don't know, show their true colors or whatever they're doing. But it's not allowed in the scriptures. Yet they don't talk about it.
Let me point out that in verse 18, where it says, thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore, meaning buying a prostitute,
oh, man,
for the price of a dog. When it says dog in verse 18, it is referencing a male prostitute. The word dog meant male prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have these male prostitutes, these sodomites. You have people, I'll put it to you like this. He was saying amongst our camp and our people, they were crying out against the fact that people were hiring people to sleep with and bringing them amongst the camp of the people and having them dwell amongst us, a hired sexual partner or sex slave. So, and the homosexuality. This is what he was speaking against. And nowadays, you got this all up in the church. Sodom church. Talking about this is my roommate. And people that they've paid for, I don't care if you, you know, another way they do it this day, brothers, they pay their bills or pay their car note or give them free rent. That's the same thing as hiring somebody for your sexual gratification. This is all an abomination to the Most High. And we live now in a time where people have gotten complacent, laxed, and accepted, which is why there's curses amongst these churches, man, because they worship in another god, a false god, and they think they're being blessed. They're being blessed by their god so that they could be further into deception because they've been turned over to deception and turned over to lasciviousness.
Do you know, Elder, and you look this, those of you who are listening, who has a Strong's, you can look this up yourself. Now, I have mentioned the word Zana. But the other word for a prostitute comes from 16, you know, Strong's Hebrew 69:45 and 69:42. The very word holy, where the word holy come from, the word kodesh or kodosh, that too means a temple prostitute, means a prostitute. So do you know what that means? That means there's a fine line of being set apart to the Most High and set apart to Satan. Now, you can be holy, and I'm using the King James Version of this, you can be holy to Ahia, or you can be holy to Satan. So holy doesn't mean necessarily just being pure and you know, righteous. It just basically means you're set apart, sanctified unto. The question is unto who? And so you can say, yeah, I'm holy and I'm sanctified and whatever, but who are you holy and sanctified to? Who are you Kodesh or Kodosh to? You're either going to be Kodesh or Kodosh to Ahia or in Yahushua, or you're going to be holy or Kodesh to Satan. There's no way around it. You can like, well, I don't serve nobody. Okay, well, you serve him. So you're going to serve somebody. And so I find that to be interesting that the very word Kodesh is also, once again, you can look it up yourself, can also go for a prostitute. Zaina is more or less talking about a temple prostitute or a prostitute that's within Israel. That's the word Zaina, but a prostitute, just like prostitute, any prostitute, is the word Kodesh, which basically is the same word as holy that we get the word holy from.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, it's a fine line.
Mm.
It's a fine line.
Mm. And so I think a lot of people would listen and see, because I'm going to say it again. We're living in a time where anything goes. And the Most High wants us to come back into order. And for us to understand what he has expected of us. And so, you know, you got everybody trying to be politically correct now and just accepting anything. And this stuff is here to straighten you up and clean you up so that you can really come into the increases of the Most High. Know this. Perilous times are here, and there are more coming. And those of you who are not conducting yourself in like fashion, because as the elder mentioned, people are going to conferences and going out of town to do their dirt and think the Most High is not watching and checking. Everything you're doing is being monitored, written down, and looked at by the Most High. We mention these things not because we're some homophobes or some haters or we don't have love. No, it's because we have love for our people, and we're trying to teach you how to be in the presence of the Most High and how to have a life that's Kodesh so that you can experience the benefits that come with keeping these commandments. I personally, I'll let you know that I haven't seen so many miracles be performed in my life as I have since I've been keeping the commandments and remembering the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. But what I do is I don't hang my hat on it or brag on it. I know that it's just one of the benefits that comes along with seeking first the kingdom of Ahia, which is what we do by keeping these commandments. We can't be like these other nations, like the rest of the world. And constantly when we feel like it, we get the urge or the itch, go out and buy a prostitute or go out and fall into homosexuality and paying money for sodomites. No, man, you're going to reap the curses and the judgment. And now is not the time for this. We are vastly, while you're being deceived and distracted with the presidential election, we are actually preparing to go to war. The war has already started with Iran. There's 25 countries that have naval ships in the Gulf. Chances are that they will set this war off before the election even happens. So that they
and why? Why Iran?
You say why?
The reason why I say that because I do know and I have heard that the president of the Iran knows who we are and he proclaims who we are. And I seen a video where he started proclaiming this, people started getting them walking out.
God,
I look at him as an ally.
Yes, 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 yes. You saw that when Ahmadinejad spoke to the United Nations. And folks know that the United Nations are the people spoken of in Psalms 83, the nations that have conspired against us. That is the United Nations. He went to the United Nations about 2 years ago or a year ago and chastised them for what they've done to the slaves, to the indigenous, to the people of the Most High, the children of Israel. And he talked about them not giving reparations and the blood and sweat and how that nation was built upon our backs. Know that the Medes are being stirred and that he's going to use Iran to begin to destroy the Little Horn, the daughter of Babylon, America. America is getting ready to reap what it has sold and what it has done to people. And so while you're busy living any kind of way and falling into this whoredom and prostitution, fornication and sodomy because they're putting it in your face in TV programming, know that there's getting ready to be a strike against Babylon. And if your heart is not in the right place of being clean, like we talked about, being Kodesh and being set apart with what we're covering today, you will not be in that remnant that will be protected. Yeah, we're going to go through some things. Some people, you know what? But what most people don't realize is that a lot of our people are being tortured and tormented right now. Hands cut off, feet being cut off, people being hung in other countries. You know, this is foolishness. I even heard about people that left America and went to Israel, and they're actually over there prostituting in Israel. Can you believe that?
Well, you see who's over there. You see who's running it. And another thing that I'm concerned about is that what you just mentioned is that, you know, we're being killed. The slave trade is still going on.
Definitely.
What's going on now is that the parents is no longer of value. So they'll kill the parents and they'll take the children and they'll throw the children into pornography or throw them out on the streets to prostitute or make them be a house servant, which is still, you know, they're still being molested and so on. And so these are the things that's going on now that the news, I don't care where you at, world news, CNN, I don't care where, local news, they don't mention this stuff. But yet this stuff is still going on, taking our people and turning our people out. You know, taking our children and turning our children, you know, turning our children out, sacrificing our children to demons, and so on. And yet it's going on right under our nose while we're running around doing laps around the church, swinging on the chandelier, speaking in tongues. This is going on right under our noses. And yet we're not doing anything about it. But yet we got this. I'm going back on this subject here. Yet we got the scripture says, thou shalt not bring a hired whore or the price, of a dog into the house of a hire for any vow. Now, just last week, and this is the second week I heard this, that I heard these are two different preachers saying that the church would not, run today if it wasn't for these anointed homosexuals. And he said anointed homosexuals. He's like, the homosexuals, yeah, they're running the church, but they're needed. They're the most talented group of people out there, and we need them, and the Most High has anointed them for this time. This is what I heard last week. It says right here, do not even hire. You know, that's the organist, that's the drummer, that's the pianist, that's the minister of music, that's the pastor. Do not hire a whore, which is, you know, they're male whores too, for a price of a dog. Now, I remember Enoch. This word dog, the word Caleb, Hebrew word Caleb, is also referring to a hyena in the book of Enoch. Enoch would say a dog or a hyena. Now, as you know, a hyena got two things going on with them. They got both organs. They got a hermaphrodite?
Hermaphrodite.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and so that's what Enoch called them, referring to homosexuals. But this is what the scripture says in in 1 Corinthians 6, and let me find it, 6 and 9, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom," I'm reading King James, "kingdom of God. Be not deceived," don't fool yourselves, "neither fornicators," that's those Zenas, you know, Zenas and Porneas, "nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate," that's what we're talking about now, "the effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covet, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And so you can call yourself anointed all you want. You can go along and tear the church up with your playing, again, with your music and so on, and with your preaching. And that, know you not that you're in that group, that you're not going to make it into the kingdom. And let me also just to, speak on a little bit more. In Revelations even, this is the last chapter. Very last chapter. Let me turn to 22. Let me find it here.
While you're looking for that, that reminds me that a lot of these pastors, like you said, they're the ones hiring these homosexuals and paying them a paycheck from the offering and tithes of the people to keep the homosexuality display, which is nothing but a Broadway stage play, keeping them there entertaining the people. Which is why the worship doesn't do nothing but stimulate their sensuality. It doesn't stimulate any serious adherence or closeness to the Most High. Being entertained, stirring their emotions, because you got a bunch of homosexuals that are not repenting from this lifestyle, that are living it. That's what you had your man, you had your boy Bishop Eddie Long down there, paid his hired male prostitutes off, and they still coming up in the temple.
It's been going on even since James Cleveland and so on. So I've been in church, and I was all the way in church. So I've been in community choirs. I've been in all that stuff, and I've seen it. I've seen it. Neither one of us is saying things that we have not seen happen in church, even amongst these community choirs, and so. It's gotten to a point to where it's running rapid, and it's so much so that it's now just common. I mean, you'll be surprised if you actually find a straight guy that's actually running a choir now. I mean, it's common. And once again, the TV shows that's supposed to be of the church, they enhance this stuff even more. They actually even advertise it, and so it seems like you can't even get hired unless you're a homosexual. and so the scripture says in Revelations 22 and 15, well, I'm going to start at 14, "Blessed are they," or increased, "barak are they that do his commandments." Now, remember that the church said the commandments is dead. But the Most High here is saying in Revelations, this is the last chapter, that blessed are they that do his commandments. That's what we're teaching right now. That they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. But watch the next verse, 15. "For without, those that are not allowed are dogs." Remember, Enoch says dogs are hyenas. Just go both ways.
Male prostitutes.
Sorcerers.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Male prostitutes, yeah.
Male prostitutes, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And so, once again, just as Apostle Shaul, who, St. Paul, you will not be allowed in the kingdom. You will not participate and have the right to that tree of life and enter through the gates of the city. So go on and continue to play your church. I know I'm going to get calls on this because I'm always getting calls. Go continue to play your church. go continue and continue to tell the sheep that the commandments are dead, so you can do anything. You can just live any kind of way, because for by grace are you saved. That's one of their main things. You know, so just continue to do what you're doing, and we'll continue to do what we do, because you call us cults. You know, I get called that off. Well, brother, I don't know what you didn't join, but you some part, some heavy cult. Heavy cult for obeying his commands?
Well, that's how they've been trained, to believe that anything that goes outside of what they think is the norm, while they live inside of a bubble of lies, anyone who escapes that lie has been, you know, labeled as being a cult because they don't understand it. But all praises to the Most High, because he's waking up who he wants to wake up in the time that he wakes them up. So it's my prayer that, you know, you Israelites start to wake up and come up out of this foolishness that you're living in and this false worship that you're practicing on the first day of the week.
Yeah, Elder, and I told you about this, that I got so many calls one day with just, you know, the leaders of the church calling and, you know, disputing what we say. Now, you notice they don't come in. The elder said, hey, the room is open if you want to call in. How come you're not calling in now? You wait till after the show is over, and then you make your personal calls and try to, you know, just knock our name down, you know, saying that, you know, that we're not holy or whatever, but you're holy, and that we're not living right, even though we're teaching the commands and the Old Testament is dead. And but man, you would run to Psalms 23, you know, when you need that comfort, you'll run to the Old Testament. You'll run to the Tanakh then. But
right.
If it's not in your heart, then you're basically just wasting words. As Solomon says, you're chasing after the wind. You're trying to grab the wind. You're wasting your time. And there's, at least with me, there's one last chapter thing I want to say. I'm trying to look it up now. It says, in Ecclesiastes. Just a minute, Elder. Hold on, I'm just looking it up.
Elder?
Uh-huh.
Oh, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just trying to find the scripture.
Okay, while you're looking for that scripture, we got a phone call from area code 248-242. Tell us your name, where you're calling from, and what's your question or comment?
Hi, my name is Shatan. I'm calling from Michigan. And I just wanted to make a comment. I wanted to say that it is a blessing to have our Hebrew Israelite brothers who are actually teaching the truth. There are so many groups, especially here. I live just outside of Detroit, Michigan. We have a lot of Hebrew Israelites who are coming to the truth, who they are, but they're clinging to all these Jewish traditions and Judaism. And when I came out, the Father called me out of Christianity in 2004. I didn't know exactly how this walk was supposed to be walked out, but I knew that he told me to come out of her, my people. And the day he called me out, I never looked back. And that's when he brought me into the truth of his Shabbat, keeping his Sabbath, and keeping his laws and just returning back to his covenant. And as I began to study and continuing to study, my eyes were open to the truth, and I began to be upset because of all the lies and the deceptions. And it was like when I was in that, because it's like a spell that you're under when you're in that. And I could not see what was really before me, but it was when I saw him out and I cried out to him when he said, many on this day will say, you know, I prophesied in your name. I cast out demons in your name. He's going to say, depart from me, you who are walking in iniquity. And what people don't know, the mystery of iniquity, that is lawlessness. Sin is transgression of the law. And that's what these ministers are teaching. They don't understand that they're teaching against the seal, that they're not going to be protected in the end times. They're teaching against the testimony of Yeshua HaMashiach. They're teaching against it. That's what the spirit of prophecy is. If you go to Revelation chapter 1 and 19, Revelation 19 verse 10, and also Revelation, I can't remember the other one, but this is the test, Revelation 1. Chapter verses 1 through 3 and Revelations 19 and 10. What people don't realize that this is the spirit of prophecy. And those who keep his commandments and those who keep his Shabbat, his set apart day, that's what the spirit of prophecy is. And if they're teaching against the seal, they're teaching against the testimony of Yeshua HaMashiach, he tells you that in Revelations 1 through 3 and Revelations 19 and 10, that this is the testimony, and those people that he speak about that were beheaded for his name's sake, that had the testimony of Yeshua HaMashiach, the witnessing. How can you have the testimony and these ministers are teaching against the Sabbath, and they're teaching against his laws and telling you, we don't have to do that. That was for the Jews. Okay, well, what did he say? Who are those chosen people of the Bible? Who are the Jews? It's not the ones who are going around claiming it, because he tells you that in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, that they're not his chosen people. And everyone is not understanding. He called me to teach, and I have been teaching his word. There's a group of us that we meet every Shabbat, and we come together in fellowship. We go through his laws and his precepts, and we teach. I do yearly conferences where I try going out witnessing, just going out where I know our people are, the malls, just wherever they are, going out trying to get people to come and listen to what we're saying. When they have the African World Festival, because they do that here in Detroit, where they have the festivals and, you know, recognizing different cultures, and they have what's called the African World Festival. We were down there at they had at the Charles H. Wright Museum this summer. And we were down there, we had our flyers, we were down there speaking to people as they're walking by, like, you're not African. We're not them. Those are not our people. And they think everyone who has brown skin or dark skin is us. And all you have to do is go to Genesis. And Genesis 10, and he will tell you who we are. We're not Ham. And people don't understand, we don't need to, they tell us we don't need to go there. But when they're telling us we don't need to know our history, we don't need to know what that, oh, that was for them, that was for the Jews. And I'm like, okay, we don't need to, how can you pick up a book and start reading in the middle? Because when I was in the church, I've been in the church ever since I was a little girl, my grandmother. How can you pick up a book? If I'm reading a book and I want to know what's going on, I'm not going to pick up a book and start reading from the middle of the book. I need to start from the beginning of the book, so that I can know what's going on. And this is what they're teaching us, and I'm just, like, so sick and tired. When I heard you about, I've been listening to you for about a week, and I am just, like, so happy, and praises be to the Most High for you and what you're doing, because I'm here. I listen to other blog talk shows, too, and there's a lot of Hebrew Israelite groups, but I actually had to come before one, because she was on here telling us, every day is a Sabbath, and we don't have to do that no more. And I'm speaking against his Sabbath and his laws, and I was like, oh, no. And I had to rebuke her. I actually sent her things, scriptures after scriptures. She did, like, three blog talk shows based on some of the things that I emailed her, trying to come to her in love. You need to go back on this radio show, and you need to go back and apologize. You need to. Because what you have done, she had all these callers calling in saying, oh, yeah, because I knew we don't have to keep this up. Every day is a Sabbath, and we can choose any day. And I'm like, that's what they're saying in Christianity, and we need to wake up. And we are a group where, sir, I just call myself a servant. We go out and we speak to people and share truth. And I would like, and I'm not sure if this is something, I wasn't sure if you actually ever come and visit and speak, but we do lectures. We have shows where we show the curses from, I don't know if you're familiar with Israelite Heritage. They have a documentary out called The Curses. Yeah, we there's some of their people that we fellowship with as well, but we show that documentary, the of the curses, and we speak to people. We were down there at the African World Festival telling them that who we really are. So I'm out here because he's commanded me to teach, and I do teach and share his word with everyone, and I'm trying to. I've been trying to pull my family out for years. I just now got my dad. For years, he would not allow me. He's been with me, and he has, like, I have trouble going over to his house because when I go in there, he's got all these churches with all these pictures of Jesus and white Jesus and crosses hanging all over tables and angels, and I'm like, you're breaking the first set commandment, just all these abominable things. And he finally, praise his beast, yeah, he let me go in there and pull all those idols out. It was so many idols that he had with the statues and crosses and things that were in there that I had three, like, big grocery bags, like trash bags of idols that he let me get out. And I know that Spirit in him did not want me to do that. But that day, because I had been praying, and my mother had been praying as well. But, of course, she wants to be obedient to her husband, and she talked to him, but he's like, no, I'm not getting rid of this. And he's like, don't get rid of this, because this statue, this Jesus in the manger. I'm like, he's not in the manger anymore. And he's not hanging up on the, he's never died on a cross, some hung on a tree. And
what's your name?
He let me get those things out.
What's your name again, sir?
My name is Chan. My name is Shatan, and
Shatan, how you spell it?
We have a website, Shatton.
Okay.
And I've been telling my sisters and just different people about you, and they've been listening to your shows. And we would like to, because we meet in our homes, and there's more of us that are meeting. We're trying to find, like, a center, because we're not going into those pagan idolatry churches to, you know, come and fellowship. But we've been fellowshipping at home and also in libraries. I've been teaching for 4 years. But we would like to see at some point that you will be able to come, if you could come and speak to, because we're trying to gather some people. Right now I'm in the process of meeting with these ministers. My dad has, you know, set up a time for me to actually meet with his minister because I wanted to share some truth, give them some different things. And he's given me some understanding that I taught the ladies last week was the ways of Balaam and just the seven churches and how they're connected. When you read Revelation 2 and 3, those seven assemblies and the congregation, and how Yeshua, this is the end time warning to the remnant, to the bride, all these different congregations. He's going through and he's letting them know, okay, you're doing this, you have faith, you haven't denied me, but hey, you have the teachers of Balaam, you got the doctors of Balaam or Nicolaitans, which I hate. You got that Jezebel that's in here teaching this false doctrine. So I was teaching on that, and so many people were like, oh, we did not have the understanding and how it's connected, because he gave me a dream 3 years ago, and all I saw was just Laodiceans just going across in big bold letters, and that was it. And I've been praying for understanding, and I think it's just now starting to come into the understanding. As far as these ministries, these churches, that they think in the end, he says, you think that you're alive, but you're dead. You, your congregation, your assembly, you think that you're alive, but you're really dead. And he was going through Laodicea and Philadelphia and Pergamos, which he said, where is the seat of Satan, where his throne is. All these different churches that he was speaking about. And Yeshua was telling the Apostle John, you know, tell them about the condition, warning them about the conditions that they're in, and I'm going to be able to use this new revelation that he's given me and understanding about these churches of Christianity. You got the doctrine of Balaam in here. You know, you got these false, idolatrous teachings in these assemblies, and our people are up under a spell, and it's like we have so many people who know the truth, and they're afraid. And he said, all cowards are going to have their day in the lake of fire, too. You got this truth, and you sitting on it. He didn't give it to you to just sit on it. Our people are in captivity, and we need people to be able to help pull them out, open up their eyes. And we're praying and been crying out. I cry out, and I pray for Israel all the time that he will pull out those that are even using me as a vessel. And I just say praises to you all. Praises to the Most High, but to him and you, using you as a vessel.
All praises. All praises.
And we would like, at any time, in between now and the summer, if you could come, because we will get the people. We're trying to, you know, we do a conference every year where we are Sharing Truth. We just did something on Mystery Babylon. I have videos actually on YouTube that I have done on who is Mystery Babylon, and most people don't know that his United States. They don't know that
United States is Mystery Babylon,
and they don't know this is the whore that has caused all the other nations. This is that nation that's set upon many waters that's caused everyone to sin. You claim you know him, but you don't know him.
Right.
You know, so
is it Mystery Babylon on your YouTube? Is that the title of it?
If you type in on in Letting Go Novels, because I'm also an author as well, Letting Go Novels, they all of them by Shatan Claybrook, they'll come up.
Well, we're gonna get your information. We're gonna get your information. I've got your number, Sister Shatan. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna have the elder mm-hmm. to a call right after the show mm-hmm. so we connect, because we're in the process of developing a new website right now, because this mm-hmm. is Hebrew Restoration Academy, and this is our disciple. But all praises to the Most High for what you said and for the work that you're doing. And you are an encouragement to the people that are listening and to ourselves to know that we're waking up. So I implore you and encourage you to keep on doing what you're doing until we gather, until that time. So I really want to thank you for calling in. Really, Dawada.
Okay. Shabbat Shalom.
We'll be in contact with you.
And I'll give you a call.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Shalom.
It's truly a blessing to hear our sister, the occultee, is doing the work and getting it done. Because, you know, we got a lot of our brothers that sleep. And one key thing she pointed out, Elder, is that a lot of our people are waking up and they're mimicking the synagogue of Satan. And I think we've done shows on that. And we still need to do shows on that. You know, you brothers that are going around wearing the Star of David that you think is the Star of David, and it's actually the Star of Moloch, and you're wearing a hexagram, you're actually opening up a portal for satanic spirits. We don't follow the Tetragrammaton or Kabbalah or the Talmud. We don't mimic them. They are the people that tried to steal who we are, and they've tainted it with witchcraft and Satanism and tried to infuse that in there. But, you know, I'm glad she brought that out. That was a key point. We are not sitting here copying the ways of Judaism. We are the Hebrew Israelites, the people of the Most High. We want to thank that sister for calling in. And, you know, I definitely wanted her to get this time out to speak, because this is our day of worship, you know.
Yeah, it just reminded me, because there's an old slave spiritual song that says, I hear the shofar or the trumpet blowing in my soul, you know. And so right now, just the shofar is just blowing in our soul, and it's blowing in people like her and like us and other people, other Hebrew light ministries that's coming up. It's just that trumpet. It's that's gathering us back together again. And Elder, the scripture I found that I thought of was Ecclesiastes 5, when it says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God." Remember, I'm reading out of King James, so you know, don't y'all jump on me. Goeth into the house of God, and be more ready to hear, now watch this, than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. See, so all the stuff that's going on in the church, it's, you know, the days, even back in the days of Moses, they came to the house and they heard the voice of the Most High speak to them. It wasn't, you know, and he told Moses what to say to the people, but when him and Joshua and some of the elders would go into the tent of meeting, or the Levites, they would hear the voice. And so, and they didn't say anything. They didn't minister. They didn't speak to him. He spoke to them, and then it got carried on to the people. Or at Mount Sinai, when they all heard his voice, that's Exodus 19. And so, my prayer is that when we go now to the house whether it be in your house or wherever, you know, that you had set apart this Sabbath day, that you would hear his voice, and that you would no longer, see, they're not going to say this in church, you would no longer give the sacrifice of fools. Because here's the thing, it's better to obey than a sacrifice. So to obey his commands is better than to give these tithes and offerings and sacrifices. We got to get back to the commands. We got to get back to learning his ways and learning our culture. Because it's that's going to give us the right to enter through the gates of the city.
And with that being said, we've definitely gone into the hour, over the hour, and all praises to the Most High for this time of the law. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and we are one, just like he is. And so as we get ready to come to a close, I want you to be increased today on this seventh day. Continue to enjoy your Sabbath, your time of rest, for this is a sanctified day, Kodesh day, as ordained by the Most High. And keep on doing the things, as my sister called in and said she's doing, as we're doing. Let's keep prophesying in the wind. And if we can't meet physically, we can meet over these airwaves that the Most High has allowed for us to come together on. And, you know, we can use all these mediums, Facebook, Twitter. These people use it for foolishness, but we can start telling this truth out there. You can find me at V the Preacher, V the Space Preacher on Facebook. And the website will be up and running pretty soon. Elder Ardrey, anything you want to say in closing as we get ready to sign up?
No, just want to say to the sister and to all those that are hearing, thank you, sister, for joining us today, and thank you for your comments and your confirmation as well. And we love you, and I'll be calling you right after this broadcast and just getting more information for you. But thanks for listening, and thanks for giving your comment.
Listen, I have no apologies for those of you who've been in and out the show, because this line, these lines were lit up, Elder, and the chat room was lit up. Folks was going in and out because I know we was, as they say, cutting grass, and the truth hurts. So I have no apologies for telling the truth. We will keep doing that and telling the truth always here at the Hebrew Restoration Assembly on this seventh day, brought to you by the Social Change Action Network. And I'm going to say, as we always say, as I always say, the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. For truth is a journey, not a destination. I'm Elder V. Shabbat Shalom.